This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, August 30th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
The clock ticks down to the deadline for a trade deal with Canada.
We gave till Friday, and I think we're probably on track. We'll see what happens.
While the prospect of an agreement threatens renewed focus on Beijing.
They need to pave the way for more time to be spent on China.
And global equities decline after yesterday's record close for U.S. stocks.
It was a lively and sometimes testy debate between New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and actress-turned-politician Cynthia Nixon. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, Yankees fall to the White Sox, Mets split a doubleheader with the Cubs, and another sign that Sam Darnold's time is near.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
U.S. futures and European equities are falling after yesterday's record close for the S&P 500. It is 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 6 points this morning. Dow futures down 85. NASDAQ futures down 17. The DAX in Germany is down 1.2%. CAC in Paris down 0.6%. FTSE 100 down 0.8%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 12 cents to $69.63 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $3.10 to $12.0840 an ounce. The euro, $1.1689, the yen, 111.57. Bob.
We begin with trade, and President Trump saying the U.S. and Canada are on track to strike a deal by tomorrow's deadline.
We're negotiating with them right now, and they want to be a part of the deal. And we gave till Friday, and I think we're probably on track. We'll see what happens.
This week's showdown has Canada under the gun to either strike a deal or dig in and see what the U.S. will do.
Restrictions on Canada's dairy market continue to be a major sticking point, along with anti-dumping rules. Bloomberg senior editor Jody Schneider has more.
Canada saying that its position has not changed on anti-dumping panels, that they need these resolution panels for anti-dumping charges to be in the agreement. There has been language in NAFTA. There's not the same kind of language in the deal that the U.S. and Mexico signed. And that's a key dispute area that could help determine the fate of the deal.
Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland said trade officials from both countries plan to work into the night today.
Now, an agreement with Canada could clear the way for the White House to turn its focus back on China. Deborah Elms is executive director of the Asian Trade Center.
The Trump administration needs a win, and they need a win on NAFTA, and they need one now so that they have, first of all, a victory that they can declare to their voters. And second, they need to pave the way for more time to be spent on China.
Right now, there's no sign of renewed talks with China after last week's low-level trade discussions yielded little progress.
Meanwhile, tariffs on Chinese products are hampering companies with aspirations to grow in the U.S. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. Hundreds of U.S. firms are asking for relief from tariffs. They say they'll increase their costs, forcing them to raise prices and even consider moving manufacturing offshore. They include the maker of Sylvania light bulbs. Leadvents LLC says proposed levies on imported LED components are putting at risk efforts to shift production from China to plants in Kentucky and Pennsylvania. The White House argues the long-term payoff will make the short-term pain of higher tariffs worthwhile. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Bob.
John, thank you. We have more developments on Brexit this morning with some ramped-up rhetoric from the UK. Bloomberg Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. The UK government has told the EU it must compromise on Theresa May's plans or risk a no-deal Brexit. That's as the timeline for reaching an agreement slips backwards. And negotiations now resume tomorrow when Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab holds a meeting in Brussels with his European Commission counterpart Michel Barnier. The pound holding on to most of its 1% rally from yesterday. That's after Barnier reiterated that he'd be ready to propose an unprecedented new partnership with the UK. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. In Argentina, the peso is weaker after President Macri asked the IMF to speed up payments to the country from its $50 billion credit line. The move was meant to reassure investors. Instead, it sparked confusion. Bloomberg Global Economics and Policy Editor Kathleen Hayes.
Maybe this is a move that reeks of desperation. Maybe it won't be so good. Maybe it will cause further downtrend in that peso and certainly hit their bond markets. At the same time, some people are saying that this is a buying opportunity. Then maybe if you've got the appetite for risk, this would be a good time to jump in and buy.
The Argentine peso weakened more than 7% yesterday to a record 33.96 against the dollar.
Here in the U.S., Moody's Investor Service has cut Ford Motors' credit rating to just one notch above junk. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
Moody's cited erosion in Ford's, quote, global business position and the challenges it will face implementing its restructuring effort that could rack up $11 billion in the next 3 to 5 years. A descent into junk would be a blow to Ford after 6 years of investment-grade status. The automaker avoided joining its U.S. peers in bankruptcy during the financial crisis, thanks in part to more than $23 billion in loans taken out in 2006. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. In other corporate news, we have word that Apple is acquiring an augmented reality display company. The iPhone maker has purchased Aconia Holographics and is said to be planning shipment of an AR device as early as 2020.
Shares of Salesforce are down 3% in early trading. The cloud software company gave a disappointing profit forecast and said it will stop reporting a closely watched sales metric that failed to satisfy high expectations.
And a programming note, tune in later this morning for a conversation with Warren Buffett. The Berkshire Hathaway chairman sits down for an interview with Bloomberg's David Westin.
He's sitting on something like $110 billion of cash. He said he doesn't see a way to deploy it right now that makes sense, but he recognizes he has to deploy it at some point or he has to return it to the shareholders. So we're going to ask about what would cause him to start deploying it.
A conversation with Warren Buffett. Catch it at 11:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and television. Futures moving lower this morning. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. Now 5:07 on Wall Street. Some debate fireworks. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that story and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. It was a lively and testy debate between New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and actress-turned-politician Cynthia Nixon.
You don't snap your fingers as governor and it happens.
Well, it will never happen if you empower the IDC and give the Republicans control of the state Senate.
Can you please do that?
If you stop lying, I will stop interrupting.
The two clashed over policy in their only scheduled debate before the September 13th Democratic primary.
Why didn't you release your taxes in 2010 when you ran? You didn't release them until after the election.
I
did more. You kept moving the goalposts.
I've released them for 20.
You keep moving the goalposts and have a whole different set of rules for me than you have for you, and I don't think that's fair.
I've released them for 20 years.
Also during the debate, aired on WCBS-TV, Cuomo said he would not make a run for the White House in 2020 if reelected. A day after Florida Republicans picked Ron DeSantis as their gubernatorial candidate, he told voters not to monkey this up in November by selecting his Democratic opponent, Andrew Gillum, who is vying to become the state's first black governor. Democrats decried the comment as racist. U.S. lawmakers are urging the Trump administration to sanction senior Chinese officials over alleged human rights violations against Muslims. President Trump is blaming China for undermining U.S. efforts to pressure North Korea into giving up its nuclear weapons. Bloomberg's Peter Pei is in Seoul.
President Donald Trump acknowledged that talks to have North Korea give up its nuclear weapons have stalled, but said that his relationship with North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un remained very good and warm. Ratcheting down the rhetoric a bit, Trump also said he saw no need to resume military drills with South Korea at this time. Trump's remarks on Twitter came a day after his defense secretary renewed tensions on the Korean Peninsula by saying that the U.S. had no plans to suspend any more military drills, which North Korea sees as a prelude to war. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A Texas jury last night decided to send a white former police officer to prison for 15 years for the on-duty killing of an unarmed black teenager in a Dallas suburb. Roy Oliver was convicted of murder for fatally shooting 15-year-old Jordan Edwards as he left a house party last year. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, sir. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees were held to just one run in the Bronx, falling 4-1 to the White Sox. C.C. Sabathia took the loss despite turning in a quality start in which he allowed 3 runs in 6 innings. Skipper Aaron Boone.
I thought we had a lot of good swings, a lot of good approaches, and nothing to show for it. We're a little in and out, a little inconsistent, and, still felt like, we could have been a little bit better after that first turn where it didn't really bounce our way. But, definitely a frustrating loss and one that we got to get past here and now get ready for Detroit.
Gleyber Torres knocked in the lone run for New York in the 5th inning. Yankees still held serve in the wild card because Oakland fell to the Astros. New York's leads 4.5 over the A's, 10 over Seattle. Tigers are in town tonight to open up a weekend set. Francisco Liriano battles Jay Happ. Mets split a doubleheader at Wrigley Field, getting walked off 2-1 in 11 innings by the Cubs, only to regroup in the nightcap.
The pitch, Frazier hits it high in the air, deep to left field, forget it. That's a grand salami for Todd Frazier. Deep into the bleachers and left field for Frazier, his 16th home run of the year.
Mets radio, New York buried Chicago 10-3, pounding out 16 base hits. Jason Vargas, after starting the year 2-8, has won his last 3 starts. NFL news, Sam Darnold has moved up in the depth chart for the Jets. It's addition by subtraction as New York traded quarterback Teddy Bridgewater and a 6th-round pick to the Saints for a 3rd-round pick next year. Josh McCown, age 39, along with Darnold are the 2 quarterbacks. McCown didn't play in the past 2 preseason games. In tennis, U.S. Open, John Isner, Rafael Nadal, and Kevin Anderson moved on, as did Sloane Stephens in 3 sets. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thanks, Rob Bushka. The Atlanta Hawks will now be playing in the State Farm Arena. The basketball club and the insurance company say they've reached a 20-year deal on the naming rights for the arena, which is currently in the final phase of renovations. No word on how much State Farm paid. This is Bloomberg. S&P futures at this hour down 6 points. That is 0.2%. Dow futures down 87 points. NASDAQ futures lower by 17 points. And the 10-year yield 2.8731%.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European equities are lower after yesterday's record close for the S&P 500. The stock rally also fizzled in Asia today with the MSCI Asia Pacific Index snapping its recent winning streak. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore. Juliet.
Karen, Chinese stocks listed on the mainland and in Hong Kong led the declines while Japanese markets erased earlier gains. Equities in Australia were little changed, remaining near 10.5-year highs. TPG Telecom was a standout in Sydney, rising 18% to September 2016 highs on an $8 billion plan to merge with Vodafone Hutchison and take on market leader Telstra. The Indian rupee, meanwhile, pushed past 71 to the dollar intraday, a fresh low, as higher crude prices continue to raise concerns about the oil importing nation's finances and inflation outlook. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. S&P futures are down 6.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 87. NASDAQ futures down 18. The DAX in Germany is down 1.1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 11 cents to $69.62 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25% or $3.20 to $12.08.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1689. The yen, 111.56. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, there's another job opening in the West Wing, this time for the position of the White House's top lawyer. Don McGahn will be leaving in the fall. Special Counsel Robert Mueller asked for more time to consider whether to retry President Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, on the 10 counts that a Virginia jury couldn't decide last week. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets won their game against the Cubs after losing an earlier game to Chicago that was suspended Tuesday. The Red Sox won, along with the Orioles. The Nationals, A's, and Giants lost. In tennis at the U.S. Open, both the Williams sisters advanced and now will face each other tomorrow. Everybody plays tonight in the last NFL preseason game before it counts, including the Giants hosting the Patriots, and the Jets are at the Eagles. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 500 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. We are joined now by James Bevan, Chief Investment Officer for CCLA Investment Management. So as we heard from Karen, stock index futures pointing to a lower Wall Street open after yesterday's record close for U.S. stocks. Mr. Bevan, is this as good as it gets for U.S. stocks, or is this time different and the start of a new phase in the bull market?
I certainly believe that we may get choppier markets, and therefore we should not be surprised if we get a correction, particularly in October, when the confluence of movements in cash flows from the Federal Reserve and the Treasury does mean that there will be a squeeze on liquidity. But the underlying earnings for the U.S. equity market, as proxied by the S&P 500, are really very strong. I'm looking for $162 for this year, $173 for the index for next year. I think that fully justifies a shift up to 3,100 points for that index by the end of the calendar year.
The dollar has been rising again this morning, the largest gain in a week. Are we near a peak U.S. dollar?
I think there are two aspects to this. The first is that the dollar is strong because the U.S. economy is doing well. And when I look at the prospects for example, the Eurozone economy, I see a relatively gloomy prospect compared with what is going on in the States. And therefore, naturally, the dollar is required. The second issue is that global trade trends are diminishing. So the global drivers of growth, together with the concerns on trade, do mean that people are thinking safety first, and inevitably they also then turn to the dollar. So I think the dollar will continue strong for the time being.
No chance that people could start moving back toward emerging market assets looking more attractive?
I worry about emerging economies. I'm much more interested in emerging industries. So I am looking at medical devices companies, in particular companies like Recordati in Italy, companies that are able, from my perspective, to offer long-term secular growth, but with strong corporate governance, good balance sheets, and robust cash flows.
Now, based on what you just said about the situation in the U.S., is the U.S. economy strong enough to deal with more rate increases from the Fed with these trade concerns and other geopolitical issues?
I think Mr. Trump got in early with his Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the deregulation and the fiscal impetus, and I think that the U.S. domestic economy will continue to be reasonably strong. In terms of the concerns that market participants have about so-called inversion of the yield curve, where long rates fall below short rates, and traditionally this has been a harbinger of recession, I would say that the real reason for rates being where they are at the long end relative to the short end is that European and Japanese investors who might normally buy their domestic bond markets look at the dreadful yields available, see the higher yields in the States, and have been buying those yields in preference.
And what are you factoring in terms of the pace of increases from the Fed?
I am fully expecting a shift up in line with the Fed's own proposals over the next 12 months. Critically, for the 10-year yield, I don't see the 10-year yield moving above 3.5%. And anything up to 3.5% is, from my perspective, completely consistent with a continued re-rating of the U.S. equity market.
And where does the Fed stop? Where does it say, okay, that's enough?
I think that the Fed will continue to normalize policy for some while yet. And if you said to me, well, what's normalization mean in the fullness of time, I would say that we need to see a real rate from cash of around 1.5% in line with Professor Taylor's rules on setting real cash rates. And therefore, we should be seeing the Fed funds rate move to around 3 percentage points in due course.
And where would you rank the threat of an inverting of the yield curve right now in terms of just how important it is?
I would say it is very unimportant. Obviously, the San Francisco Fed has raised the concern that it may be pointing to the market worrying about recession. But for me, that is not the challenge. The challenge is much more that market participants believe that the Fed is on top of inflation, the growth will remain modest, and from a global point of view, the U.S. yields are still much higher than those comparable yields available in either the Eurozone or Japan.
Our thanks to James Bevan, Chief Investment Officer for CCLA Investment Management. And let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures currently down by 6 points. That is not quite 0.25%. 10-year Treasury prices up to 30 seconds. The yield 2.8749%. The U.S. dollar spot index is up not quite 0.1% now at 94.647. And this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And a reminder, tune in later this morning for a conversation with Warren Buffett. The Berkshire Hathaway chairman sits down for an interview with Bloomberg's David Westin. You can catch it at 11:30 Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and European stocks are lower a day after another record close for both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ.
President Trump says the U.S. and Canada are on track to agree on a trade deal by tomorrow's deadline.
Canada very much wants to make the deal, and I think it's going to be obviously very good for Canada if they do, and I think it's probably not going to be good at all if they don't.
The president says the trade talks are going well. Canadian Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland said officials from both countries plan to work into the night today.
The trade war between the U.S. and China is having an impact on business at the world's largest luggage maker. Samsonite says the dispute is hurting sentiment among Chinese consumers and will play into slower sales growth.
On the economic front, the government issues data on consumer spending at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast a 0.4% increase for July. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
In June, consumer spending rose 0.4%, the fourth consecutive increase. Bloomberg Economics says solid retail sales suggest today's data will be on par with June's gain. Personal income probably rose, too. Also on today's economic calendar, jobless claims, which are running near a five-decade low. Vinny Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. Shares of Salesforce.com are down more than 3%. The maker of cloud-based software gave a disappointing profit forecast. Campbell Soup and Dollar General lead five companies in the S&P 500 reporting earnings today.
Apple is making an acquisition. It's buying Aconia Holographics, a company that makes displays for augmented reality glasses.
The pound is weakening as Michel Barnier tones down expectations for a Brexit deal. The European Union's chief negotiator says the bloc must be prepared for a disorderly exit by the UK.
And the International Monetary Fund is considering Argentina's request to speed up payments from its $50 billion credit line. President Macri said the country needs the money to show it has enough cash on hand to fund next year's budget. That sent the Argentine peso plunging to a record low. Right now, futures are moving lower. S&P futures are down 6 points. Dow futures down 83. NASDAQ futures down 17. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/30 seconds, yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 9 cents is $69.60 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $3.40 to $12.08.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1691, and the yen, 111.56. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street, a lively and testy debate. That story and more from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Tempers flared last night between New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and actress-turned-politician Cynthia Nixon as the two faced off in their only scheduled debate ahead of the September 13th Democratic primary. Cuomo, during the debate aired on WCBS-TV, talked about President Trump.
Someone has to stand up to him. Someone has to stop him. New York has always been the progressive capital. We made it the progressive capital once again. And New York should be the state where we say we are the alternative state to Donald Trump.
Nixon told the crowd she will be the better choice.
We need to oppose Donald Trump not just with rhetoric but with policy. So why, for example, have you not
expanded access to driver's licenses to undocumented New Yorkers. If you really care about combating the Trump agenda and stopping the mass deportations of New York's undocumented people, this is something that you could do by executive order, something that I have pledged to do in my first on my first day in office.
Asked about his future, Cuomo said he will serve 4 years and won't run for president in 2020 if he wins a third term. President Trump is promising a red wave will keep Republicans in power after the midterm elections, and he's not the only Republican sounding optimistic about his party's chances. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager reports.
Will Republicans hold on to Congress after November?
Absolutely.
Jesse Hunt speaks for the National Republican Congressional Committee. That's the House Republicans' fundraising arm. Many polls show an uphill climb for the party, but Hunt says they've broken nearly every fundraising record.
We're looking at right now close to $70 million in cash on hand, about $150 million overall. That is just very kind of impressive numbers.
As for whether President Trump is a help on the campaign trail, Hunt says that depends on individual campaign strategies. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Radio.
A white former police officer was sentenced to 15 years in prison last night after being convicted Tuesday of murder for killing an unarmed 15-year-old boy when the officer fired into a car filled with black teenagers leaving a house party in suburban Dallas. Large crowd showed up yesterday to honor John McCain as he lied in state in Phoenix. Today, McCain's casket will be moved to a Baptist church for a memorial service. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Bushko.
Good morning, Bob. The Yankees were held in check at the stadium 4-1 by the White Sox, who took the rubber match of the three-game set. C.C. Sabathia with a quality start, yet took the loss, allowing three runs in six innings, fanning six. Shortstop Gleyber Torres felt this one got away.
We focus in tomorrow. Today is today, tomorrow is tomorrow, and we fight tomorrow again.
Torres went 2-for-4, the lone Yankee with a multi-hit game. Wild card chase, New York remains 4.5 up on the A's, who fell in Houston. Detroit visits the Bronx tonight to kick off a Labor Day weekend set. Jay Happ hosts Francisco Liriano. Mets split a pair at the friendly confines of Wrigley Field, falling 2-1 in 11 in the matinee to the Cubs, only to beat Chicago 10-3 in the nightcap. Todd Frazier had a grand slam, and Jason Vargas, after starting the year 2-8, has won his last three straight. Mets are off Thursday as they head west to San Francisco. NFL, the Jets ship quarterback Teddy Bridgewater in a sixth-round pick to the Saints for a third-round pick next year. Giants are still basking in the glow of Odell Beckham Jr.'s contract extension. Coach Pat Shurmur on entering the final week of the preseason before the Patriots.
I think anybody that goes in there, we want to see them play good football. I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, on the short horizon here, we want the players to go in, play good winning football against New England. And that's what we're looking for from all the players.
Packers QB Aaron Rodgers outdid OBJ. He signed a four-year record deal worth up to $180 million. In U.S. Open, Sloane Stephens survives on the ladies' side, while Rafael Nadal and John Isner advance in the men's bracket. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Much obliged, Rob Bushka. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with the cover story on Harley-Davidson's plans to survive aging customers and President Trump's trade war. Also in this week's issue, how Snapchat could look to capitalize on Facebook's fumbles. Max Chafkin edited the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Snap is really trying desperately to grow up and to get better at communication. And with this competition from Facebook and especially Instagram, which is a Facebook property, you know, they're having to change.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. Now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for your Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Neiman Lab media analyst Ken Doctor says Rupert Murdoch may unite New York's two major tabloids after nearly a century of competition. Doctor says Murdoch is looking to acquire the New York Daily News, citing an unnamed source. The billionaire's publishing arm, News Corp, already owns the New York Post. It bought that back in 1976. A source tells Bloomberg that WeWork is in talks to lease space at One World Trade Center. putting the co-working giant on a path to become Manhattan's largest office tenant. The company's negotiating to take about 200,000 square feet in the lower Manhattan skyscraper, according to the source. Swiss Cruise Line MSC is partnering with Connecticut's Mohegan Sun Resort. MSC will extend benefits of its Voyagers Club to Mohegan Sun Momentum members beginning Saturday. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thanks, Ed. And at 5:39 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Ford's credit rating was cut one notch above junk by Moody's Investor Service.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're talking about Campbell's Soup's quarterly results.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Panasonic planning a post-Brexit move from the UK to Amsterdam.
I'm Joan Doniger, telling WCCO listeners in Minneapolis that General Mills is adding more leave for new parents.
Thank you all. Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. S&P futures at this hour down by 5 points. That is not quite 0.2%. Dow futures have carved off 74 points. NASDAQ futures down by 15 points. 10-year Treasury prices up to 30 seconds. The yield at 2.8749%. The 2-year yield, 2.6654%. West Texas Intermediate crude this morning up 0.2% at $69.65 a barrel. Brent crude up by 0.25% at $77.36. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. You can access news 24/7 on Twitter. Check out at TikTok by Bloomberg, the first and only global news network built for Twitter. Follow us at TikTok. That's TICTOC.
Bloomberg. Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures and European equities are lower after the S&P 500 closed above 2,900 for the first time. S&P futures are down 6 points this morning. Dow futures down 80. NASDAQ futures down 17. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany is down 1%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.87%, yield on the 2-year 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 15 cents to $69.66 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% on $2.70 to $12.0880 an ounce. The euro $1.1693, the yen 111.58. We get earnings from five companies in the S&P 500 today, including Dollar Tree and Dollar General. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The two chains saw some first quarter weakness, but Bloomberg Intelligence says both discounters likely saw improved performance in the second quarter with warmer weather playing a role. Dollar General is seen posting a low single-digit increase in same-store sales, and Dollar Tree may have had a similar gain if its Family Dollar division did better than it did in the prior quarter. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. The celebration of Senator John McCain's life enters a second day with a church service and a military salute before his casket departs his adopted state of Arizona for the U.S. Capitol. China warned a bipartisan group of U.S. lawmakers not to interfere in its internal affairs after they sought sanctions against Chinese officials over allegations the country was holding as many as 1 million Muslims in re-education camps. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets won their game against the Cubs after losing an earlier game to Chicago that was suspended Tuesday. The Red Sox won along with the Orioles, the Nationals, A's, and Giants lost. In tennis at the U.S. Open, both the Williams sisters advanced and now will face each other tomorrow. Everybody plays tonight in the last NFL preseason game before it counts, including the Giants hosting the Patriots, the Jets are at the Eagles. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, sir. Now 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion editor in our London bureau. Jen, good morning. Mohammed El Arian has a column on the terminal exploring the next steps for Trump's trade negotiations. What's his take on the best way of thinking about the new state of global trade?
Well, his starting point is how President Trump has upended longstanding approaches to international trade negotiations. So what he says is the best way to think about this new state of global trade is in terms of game theory, but in particular by thinking of different strategies and outcomes in a world where a traditionally cooperative game is being played uncooperatively.
And how does he think the U.S. is likely to fare in this new world order?
He actually says that America is destined to win it because of its economic strength and diversity and a few other factors, such as its lower reliance on external markets. But the question is, how long is it going to take for the United States to get there? Well, that depends on how quickly the rest of the world comes to appreciate the reality of this new world order. And, you know, to be sure, acceding to the U.S. demands might not really be the best option for them. But if the alternative is a full-blown trade war, they might really be well advised to see which side their bread is buttered on.
Does he sound like the world is on its way to avoiding a global trade war?
Well, I mean, his take is not so fast because there's a couple of other issues that everyone needs to keep in mind. I mean, not least of this is that the devil really is in the details. The Mexican agreement is really only a preliminary one. And then there's the question of what you make of the relationship and the understanding with China. But there is a third thing, which is what the status says of U.S. soft power. In international economic relationships, this is really a really important issue. And when America's leadership of the global economy has eroded, you've got to think very carefully about what that means for the trust and the soft power that the U.S. can exercise in these situations.
Okay, you mentioned it. How does that preliminary U.S. trade agreement with Mexico figure into this?
Well, it certainly improves the probability that we all avoid a global trade war. It gets us closer to agreements with Canada and the EU as well. But the most decisive transformation for the trading system will come through from breakthroughs with China, and those discussions are really still in a very early stage.
Okay, we move along to Ferdinando Giuliano's column on Italy's love-in with Orban. It makes no sense, he says. What bromance are we talking about here?
So he's talking about a meeting this week between Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban and Italian Deputy Prime Minister Matteo Salvini. And there's a whole lot of backslapping as they each agreed to radically transform the European Union, first and foremost by halting illegal immigration. They're actually looking at taking this a step further by forming an alliance in the next European Parliament to take on what they see as the pro-immigration forces led by French President Emmanuel Macron.
Okay, if they're in agreement, why does that make no sense?
Well, the point of this column is to say, hang on, guys, actually, your interests are diametrically opposed. The one piece of legislation in the EU that really divides them is something called the Dublin Regulation, and that stipulates that asylum seekers should be processed in the country where they first enter the EU. Italy has been lobbying really hard for this to change, and Hungary is really among the staunchest opponents to any kind of change at all. And in fact, at a European Council summit in June, Orban secured an agreement that any changes would be approved by all EU countries unanimously, thereby giving him a de facto veto.
So why wouldn't the two leaders just say that they share the same priority, stopping immigrants from coming into the EU in the first place?
I mean, that's all very well and good for Hungary, given that, you know, they just decided to put up a couple of fences across some of their borders in 2015. But Italy is really in no such a position to do that, even if it wanted to, because the Mediterranean is really just an unpatrollable border, and political instability is bound to persist on its shores.
Okay. Our thanks to Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. And you can read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg Terminal by typing OPIN Go. Karen.
It's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're following this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Google has killed BlackBerry's patented technology that creates timestamps on instant messages. The search giant claimed the technology was covered by previous inventions and won. The California Supreme Court has let stand a decision that employers must account and pay employees for small amounts of off-the-clock work, no matter how brief. Starbucks had asked for the reconsideration. And the Department of Labor has confirmed it will now bypass the Office of Personnel Management in picking administrative law judges.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news. Let's look at whether several U.S. courts will allow the Trump administration to go forward with plans to put a question about citizenship on the 2020 census. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Kimberly Robinson, Supreme Court reporter for Bloomberg Law.
Kimberly, why does the Trump administration say this question should be added, and what is the challenger's response?
Well, the citizenship question is a question that has appeared on the census before, several decades ago, and it has since been taken off. Now, the way that this citizenship question got added on this time is somewhat of a mystery. The Department of Commerce, which is responsible for the census, says that the Department of Justice actually reached out to it, to ask that the citizenship question be added to the 2020 census in order to give the Department of Justice more information to successfully enforce the Voting Rights Act, which is a landmark act protecting minority voting rights. Now, this question is currently asked on a different survey sent out by the Census Bureau, but the Department of Justice says that it needs even more responses and that it should go on the census, which is sent to every American household. Now, during these cases, there's been some evidence that it was actually the Commerce Department that reached out to the DOJ. And, you know, opponents of the citizenship question really point to that latter timeline as evidence that, you know, the VRA excuse is really just a pretext for the Trump administration to be able to depress response rates among immigrant communities.
Did any of the courts consider any of President Trump's statements regarding immigration?
Well, they did tangentially. So at this point of the litigation, the question is whether or not the Trump administration can even be challenged on these kinds of decisions, or whether or not it's completely something that's left up to the political branches separate from the judiciary. And so in reviewing whether or not these claims can be made and whether or not the plaintiffs have brought forth enough evidence to go forward, the courts have focused on whether or not response rates will actually be depressed. And at least one of the federal judges noted that the current political climate certainly suggests that individuals may be afraid, given some of then-candidate Trump's statements and the Trump administration's immigration positions.
And that's Bloomberg Law Supreme Court reporter Kimberly Robinson speaking with June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 6 points. Dow futures down 86. NASDAQ futures down about 18. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 15 cents to $69.66 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.